I'm an old-fashioned kind
Log
of guy.
Log Talk Radio.
All right. Robert's on the line. I can see it here. Hey, Robert, if you're listening, I sent your package out, so you should be getting it on Wednesday. There you go.
Fucking reason.
Wow. That's rough, man. That's rough, man. I want you to apologize, man. That's messed up.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't sound sincere.
Sorry I called you a weasel. You're a fucking despicable weasel.
Oh, stop it. Steve, God darn it. Robert, I apologize on behalf of Beeb. Show.
Rubber ducky.
You're the one. All right, hang on. Give me 1 second here, and then we're going to go live. I mean, I guess we are kind of live now, but, you know. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we are going to talk about Teofimo Lopez is lucky to be alive. This is according to his doctor. Apparently, he was suffering a lot during that fight, so we'll tell you all about it. We're also going to talk about, too, Japan closing its borders, two title fights already nixed. We're going to tell you how this affects upcoming fights as well. But first, we're going to get started with DAZN, the fight last night. Devin Haney versus Joseph Diaz Jr. for Haney's WBC lightweight title. Before we even go here, it's WBC lightweight title, but is he's not. They said Mauricio Sulaiman came out and said that Kambosos is the undisputed champion. So it's clear as mud still, because Haney thinks he's got one piece of the puzzle, but he really doesn't, no? Beeb, you're muted.
Right, it all depends on how you want to interpret it, because originally it was a designation, and then it became a super title. So there is confusion about it. Not everyone agrees that Teofimo Lopez was undisputed. Not everyone agrees that George Kampos is undisputed. I guess there is some dispute out there. According to what Mauricio Sulaiman said, the way he described it, I know he kind of changed things up a little bit, but you know, sometimes we gotta roll with the punches with the WBC, because it's a work in progress. It's always ever changing and evolving, right? Everything is a case by case basis. Everything is under our discretion or at our discretion. So if I'm going to go by what he currently has said now, that the franchise title is more or less along the lines of a super title, just like the WBA has this super title, then yeah, in my opinion, Kampos is undisputed.
Listen, what's not up for dispute is that we want to see these two guys fight. And the winner of that fight is undisputed, period. End of sentence. There's no, you know, going back and forth. My opinion, Kambosos is undisputed anyway. But again, man, I think that, you know, if these two fight, that winner is undisputed, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Devin Haney, about the fight last night, wins a unanimous decision over Joseph Diaz by the scores of 117-111 twice, 116-112. I had it 118 to 110. I only gave Diaz round four, and I believe it was round seven. I couldn't give him any more rounds. I really couldn't.
Scored it like me. You scored it 10 rounds to two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I had it. I gave him round four, and I gave him round 12.
You gave him round 12, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one or two of the judges gave him round 12 as well.
Yeah.
You know, man, Haney just completely controlled the fight, I thought, from start to finish. Not the most exciting of fights, but, you know, Diaz had his moments in there too, man. He was game. He was trying. But at the end of the day, man, Haney is just too sharp. He's too sharp for him. He was moving. Diaz, you know, he couldn't touch him. He looked good in the fourth round. That was his best round. And the DAZN announcers were talking like this was a close fight, man. It was not a close fight.
They always try to tell you the fight is close when it's not.
I mean, it wasn't even close, and it was competitive. Don't get me wrong. Diaz, you know, again, Haney was too fast and too skilled, but it was definitely competitive. You know, I mean, you got to take your hat off to JoJo for taking this fight. He didn't have to, but he wanted to fight the best guys out there. And he had his moments. You know, he hit him with a couple big shots. I don't think any of them really rattled Haney. I think they got his attention. I don't think Haney was ever hurt.
He was buzzed, but not really hurt.
Yeah. But Reese Mack said it was a good matching of styles. Yeah, I think so. I think it was a good fight on paper, and it was a good fight in the ring too. Because like I said, man, Diaz, you knew he was going to come with it. He's going to give everything he had. He was going to try to win this fight, and he did, you know. And again, man, when Garcia pulled out, he could have waited for a Garcia match, but no, he wants to fight the best guys. And I'll be honest, I don't know. Well, he didn't take a pay cut to fight Haney because they did give him the right amount. But again, man, he didn't have to fight Haney. He could have fought anybody. He could have just waited, you know. Could have asked for more money. I mean, could have done a million different things, you know. But he did well, man. He gave a good account of himself, but Haney's just – I'm telling you right now, man, he's the guy.
Yeah, you like Haney?
He's the guy at lightweight.
Well, he definitely controlled the range and the punching angles. He's placing his shots very well. His jab was a very, very important weapon in this fight because it was more or less of a decoy. He was putting it out there, just placing it out there. Just trying to use that as a decoy throwaway type punch to set the right hand up, and it was hard for Diaz to time when that right hand was coming out because Haney's just changes up the rhythm of his punches. He's not predictable at all. He constantly changes up the punch sequence, the combinations that he throws. He's not a pattern repetitious type fighter. Doesn't stay still, uses a lot of subtle movement. He'll step off to the side. He knows how to keep the, you know, his foot on the outside of your lead foot. He just knows how to be one step ahead at all times. He's a very smart fighter. A couple things that I like that he did in this fight, wasn't a ton of holding in this fight. Yeah. When JoJo got up close, Haney was shortening up the shots well. He was going to the body a lot more in this fight than I'm used to seeing him do. He was throwing the right hand to the body. He was looping the right hand, around the guard, and he was getting in there with the looping right hand to the body as well as the straight right hand to the body. So I thought Haney tightened up some things and added a few wrinkles to the game. He took the when he did get hurt, or not hit, but when he got hit, he wasn't incredibly hurt, but he came right back. Whereas when he got hit against Linares, there was like kind of like a pause. He tried to regroup. This time he regrouped quicker and went right back at Diaz. So I just think that saw some improvements, and his volume went up. I thought Diaz's volume was going to be a little bit more than it was, but again, the jab controlled the range and it controlled the tempo of this fight for him, and I thought he fought a very, very solid fight.
Yeah, I think he did. Asim Khan asked, was Haney getting hit a little bit too much? I don't believe so. I mean, it's a fight. You're going to get hit.
It's a fight.
And, you know, the thing is, I think because of the association with Mayweather a couple of months ago or whatever, you know, they were hanging out or whatever it looked like. And anytime you see Haney, you see Mayweather, and there were stories about that and everything. People expect him to be like Floyd. He's not a boxer like Floyd. I actually thought a really good – somebody came up, and I think it was one of the people on DAZN came up with this, and they said that he's more like Sugar Ray Leonard than a Floyd Mayweather.
I don't know if I want to go that far, but
– No, I agree. But I mean, style-wise, Leonard got hit. Leonard wasn't like a defensive, you know, artist or anything like that. Leonard was great defensively, but he wasn't Pernell Whitaker and he wasn't Floyd Mayweather, and that's not Devin Haney either. Devin Haney, you know, is going to sit there. He's going to lock you up. He's going to try to fight. He's going to try to hit you, try to get out of the way. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. But he's fast. He's, you know, he's strong. I mean,
Haney's not a huge puncher, but he was actually trying to sit down on these shots and really starting to get some leverage on these punches last night. I saw some improvements. I really did see some improvements, and I liked the corner work. I liked how, you know, you had Bill Haney in there, you had Ben Davidson, you had Mickey Bay. No one was really stepping on each other's toes. I think he was getting good instructions from all three coaches, and I really was impressed with his dad. His dad's telling him, relax. You know, when he's coming at you, you know, he's closing the distance, shorten up those shots. Because before, when guys would, you know, when guys would come at him, his first instinct would be to grab. Now I'm happy to see he's trying to fight these guys off him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, when you get hurt, you got to hold and regroup. But now his first instinct isn't to hold anymore. It's to shorten up the shots up close, which he needs to do. And I like that little wrinkle. And I liked how he went, you know, looped that shot around the elbow with Diaz. He was doing very well with, the variety of punches that he was throwing. That's the one thing I like about him. He throws a variety of punches, and he's very unpredictable, and he changes up the timing and the rhythm of his punches and his combinations, which is what Ben Davidson is really good at. That when you hear him in the corner, he'll tell those fighters, okay, you know, just switch up the speed a little bit. Don't throw it the same way every time. You know, he keeps his opponents guessing, you know. And you could tell Jojo Diaz, people are saying, well, Jojo Diaz needed to let his hands go, needed to throw more. It's hard to let your hands go when you got a guy who is constantly trying to offset you and not let you get started. Like, when a guy is knocking you off your rhythm, it's hard to get in the rhythm, obviously, right? So that's what Devin Haney was doing. And that was all due to the coaching and the training and just trying to work on things constantly. And that's what I like when you have a fighter like that. And Bill Haney is obviously, you know, he's the head man, but he's not afraid and doesn't have a big ego. He's not afraid to bring people in for help. He's very, you know, keen on doing that. And that's key in developing a young fighter.
I think so too. And, you know, I'm never a big proponent of fathers in the corner and you training your son and vice, you know, stuff like that. But the thing, I think they do it correctly in the sense that they will bring in somebody else. And I think, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of a comfort to the son to have his father in the corner sometimes, you know. And then you bring in a guy like Ben Davidson or Floyd Mayweather Sr. when he was earlier in his career, you know, and guys like that who can kind of refine you, kind of help you out. You know, he watches what you have and then, you know, kind of gives you little nuances here and there, you know, and helps you out or, you know, comes up with strategies and that kind of thing. And I think that's a really good thing when your dad is willing to let that go, you know, let that ego go, bring in another guy, you know, and say, hey, can you help us out? I think that's great, man.
I'm a big fan of Bill Haney too. He's a nice guy. He's a very personable guy, and he's really down to earth. He's a down to earth guy. He's not over the top. He's just got a real calm demeanor, even keel. He's a smart guy. He's a very intelligent guy. He's constantly looking for input and trying to do the best he can for his son, even if it's not exclusively through him and his decision making. He just loves to get other people's opinions on things.
Right.
You know, and I think he's constantly learning as he goes along too, and he's becoming better as a trainer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. I absolutely think so. Ohio One's boxing in the chat. Ohio having a big sports weekend this weekend. UC going to the big dance in the college football playoffs. So there you go. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't. What?
You know what happens all the time. You get all hyped up, and then, you know,
how
reality kicks in. You know what happens.
When was the last time Boston College played any meaningful game?
We don't worry about that, man. We had the great.
You has been, son. Let us have our moment. What's the matter with you? Get it together over there.
From Boston.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Oh, Montana Chubby Love. Oh, stop it, James Valdez. What's the
Cut
matter
out,
with you?
Please.
He was 4 pounds. Was he 4 pounds over? He was 4 pounds over. But there's no, like, there's no way for him to go, you know what I mean? Like, he was 4 pounds over.
I like this dog. You see his dog in the locker room? That's cute.
That little pug or whatever it was.
I never seen that before, man.
You never saw a pug before? Didn't like a chihuahua bite you or something like that?
Chihuahua bit me in the ass 2 years ago, man. I was walking on Park Ave, right? Minding my own business. I think it was like, I don't know, maybe 7 o'clock at night. It was just about to get dark in the summertime, right? Walking up Park Ave, minding my own business, and this girl has this friggin' poodle, right?
You trying to mac on her or something like that? And then
leash was like, had to be like 20 feet. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just walking, and this dog just jumps up on my leg, and I feel this like this fucking, like a knife stabbing me in the ass. And I look down at me, and it's this friggin' dog's fucking mouth is stuck to my friggin' left buck cheek. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm yelling at this. I'm saying, get this dog off me, will you please? Now this thing hurts. I had to get rabies shots and everything.
What's the matter with you?
Worst thing, Mac.
A little puppy. A little puppy bites you,
you know,
and all of a sudden, you know.
I have post-traumatic stress now. Every time I walk and I see a dog, I have to fucking move off to the other side of the street. I get nervous now, man. All my life, I've loved dogs. I used to hold them, cuddle with them. Now I just, I'm jaded because of that one incident.
What's the matter with you? Notorious VC says, I bet they'll give the Bearcats Bama. We've already got Bama coming up in the Cotton Bowl. Trying to get a line on tickets, trying to get down there. I don't know if it'll happen or not. It's expensive. Tell you what, it's expensive. Tell you that. It's crazy. National championship tickets be $425 a piece for the game in Indiana. If they make it that far, it's $425 a piece. Not $425 a piece. No way.
Are you rolling? You rolling? You rolling?
I'm rolling. All right. So after the fight, Devin Haney called out George Gambosos. Gambosos is promoted by DiBella, isn't he? I believe he's DiBella.
Yes.
So I think that's a makeable fight, man. And
Shout out to Maestro. Maestro was down there. He got some pretty good content, man. He was interviewing George Gambosos.
He hates Teofimo, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't like Teofimo.
He hates Teofimo.
But yeah, he was down. He did some great work, man. Shout out to Maestro, man.
Yeah.
Make sure you shout out my Maestro Boxing. And make sure you check out the roundtable this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be on Ringside Reporter
this
Thursday.
Nice. Very good, man. Very good. Let's see here. So I think Haney beats Gambosos. Don't you? Do you think that?
I do. You know,
I think Haney washes.
I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but I think Gambosos may lose his title in his first defense if he fights Haney or if he fights Tank or if he fights Lomachenko. If he fights Lomachenko. I think Haney's a bad fight for him.
Yeah, Lomachenko's a
bad fight for him. I don't think he's going to reign long. You know, we'll talk about Teofimo later in the show because we got a lot to say about him, but, you know.
Yeah. So, Montana Love versus Carlos Diaz, the co-main here, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. They had to change the weight to, what was it, 145 or something like that, or 140?
Something
crazy because he was supposed to be at 140.
Yes.
And he came in 4 pounds heavy. Matchroom just signed him. All right, it's your first fight for your new promoter, so you want to put your best foot forward, and he comes in 4 pounds heavy. I don't know, man. That's not good, man, not good. That being said, he looked good. He looked really good in this fight. He smashed Carlos Diaz, got a third-round KO, or third-round TKO. So Love knocked Diaz down 3 times in the second round, right? And Diaz was all over the place. Why the ref didn't stop it after that third knockdown, I'll never know. And I get it. There's no 3-knockdown rule. Listen, I'm here to tell you, there should be a 3-knockdown rule. It should be universal 3-knockdown rule. If you get dropped 3 times in a round, You are not fit to go on. You're doing something wrong. It's not your night, man.
Well, let me just say this, and I go on these rants all the time. You hear all these people with the virtue signal and making all this hoopla about PEDs in the sport and people can die, this and that. There's not enough people complaining about these refs and these corners who don't stop these fights when they should be stopped.
Yep.
That is a bigger problem, in my opinion, among other things. So that's just my opinion. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, that fight really should have been stopped. No question about it in that third round. So the second round. So the third round happens. They go out and they're fighting, and Montana, like, he hit him and stunned him with another shot, and the ref immediately stepped in as Diaz was throwing back. It was a bad time to stop the fight. You know what I mean? It was a bad time to stop the fight. If you want to stop the fight, you should have stopped it the round before, or at least wait till he's in, like, a little bit more. You know, but I get it. I know he was throwing caution to the wind. I get it. I know he was, you know, saying, hey, I don't want this kid hurt. I get it. But it was just a bad time to step in and stop the action and declare a winner at that point, because the guy, again, was fighting back. That's, you know, I don't like the no three knockdown rule, where, you know, I don't like it.
Name me
a fight where the fight should not have been stopped if you've been knocked down three times. And you can even go to the Pacquiao-Marquez fight.
Yeah.
That first fight should have been stopped in the first round. I don't care how good Marquez did after that. It should have been stopped.
Yeah, I guess it's an opinion. But more often than not, when a guy gets knocked down three times, I mean, that Marquez fight was an outlier, in other words. That was an outlier. When a guy gets knocked down three times in a round, he usually doesn't recover. Nine times out of ten, I totally understand your point. You know, but the opposers of that are always going to point to that one fight that happened. What year was that? 2005. What year did that happen? Like 2006-ish when he fought Pacquiao. I can't remember the exact date, but that was so many years ago, right? Like 15, 16, 17 years ago, right? And again, it was an outlier, because that doesn't usually happen. A guy, when he gets knocked down three times in a round, he doesn't recover from that. He doesn't come back. I think that's the only time I could ever remember someone coming back. And I still think he lost the fight anyways, but he got a draw. He would have lost the fight if the guy scored that round correctly in 10-7 or 10-6.
Right.
Should have been 10-6 instead of 10-7. He scored it wrong. So technically he did lose that fight.
Right. Shaka Melks Rogers says, I'm an idiot. Wow, my feelings are so hurt now. Steve, what am I going to do? This guy, he thinks I'm an idiot. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Maybe he's projecting.
He's projecting. Shaka Melks Rob. What kind of name is that anyway?
I don't know.
What kind of name is that? Well, pull your head out of the sand, son. So mean. Our chat is so brutal. So brutal.
Horrible.
I don't know how I can go on now, Steve.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Fight through it.
I'll try.
Bite down.
I'll try. Filip Ergovic versus Amir Amatovic, 10 rounds, heavyweights. Ergovic wins by third round TKO. This was kind of a mismatch, Beeb, right?
Yeah. This was a stay busy showcase type fight. No surprises here.
Are you that impressed with Filip Ergovic?
No, not at all. Very robotic. He can punch, but telegraphs everything, a little stiff. I think if he fights Fury, Usyk, Joe Joyce, I think he'll lose if he steps up to that level. Dillian White, all those guys, I think would beat him, if I'm being fair.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then there was a women's fight on the card, Jessica McCaskill versus Candy Wyatt. I didn't even watch that one. Babe, did you happen to catch that one?
Come on, it was a great fight, man. Jessica McCaskill did what she was supposed to do. Everyone complains about how the female fighters don't get knockouts. Well, guess what? Jessica McCaskill, she got a knockout.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I guess.
Alicia Baumgarten, the 130-pound champion, she got a knockout a couple weeks ago. Female women's boxing is coming back, man. It's starting to, make a comeback. It's starting to really catch some steam here.
Was it ever really here? It's making a comeback. Was it ever really here? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Christy Martin, Lucia Riker, Layla Ali, Holly Holm. Come on, a lot of great females. Ann Wolf.
I can get behind Ann Wolf. I like Ann Wolf.
A lot of great fighters.
You don't like Ann Wolf?
I love Ann Wolf. Interviewed her, man. One of my favorite interviews, to be honest with you.
I like Ann Wolf. She's one of my favorites. I would love to interview Ann Wolf. Get her on the show. All right.
Great.
Across the pond, Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur. So last year, right around this time, Lyndon Arthur won a split decision over Anthony Yard. The rematch didn't go that well for him. I tell you what, Anthony Yard gets revenge and beats Lyndon Arthur via fourth-round TKO. This fight wasn't close, Beeb. This was a wash, man.
I was a little surprised at how Anthony Yard came back like that. It was this was like a totally different fight than their first fight. It's crazy when you see something like that. I mean, it was a split decision, but it was a close fight the first time out. And then he just goes in there and just blows him out, man, in the second fight. It was weird.
Yeah.
You wonder if there was something up in the first fight. You don't like to make excuses, but, you know, things happen, right?
I tell you what, yeah, it was a split decision. I mean, it was, it was a close fight to begin with, but his last fight, man, it wasn't crazy. Jake Morgan, wow. So mean to me. So mean to me. Sorry if I offended you, Jake Morgan. Let's see here.
What do you mean, you guys? I am a big supporter of women's boxing. don't ever lump me in with this misogynist over here, okay? Choose your words.
I'm not a misogynist. Why? Because I don't really care for women's boxing. Does that make me a bad person? Why does that make me a bad? Because I'm just not a big fan of it.
It's not one of your better qualities.
Do you like women's tennis?
Yeah, I think I like women's tennis better than men's tennis. To be honest with you, and guess what?
You've never seen a tennis match in your life, son. Never.
I watched. I watch
this. From Boston.
I watch the Williams sisters all the time.
Stop it. On commercials.
Steffi Graf.
Those are the only ones you know. Those are the only
Martina
ones.
Martina Navratilova.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know?
She retired like years ago.
Doesn't matter. She's etched in my mind forever. That's how great she was. Jeez.
All right. Let's talk about the upcoming fights. And then we're going to go to the phones. We have a good time tonight here. All right. Tonight, Los Angeles on pay-per-view. Gervonta Davis versus Isaac Cruz for the WBA regular lightweight title, whatever that means. Sebastian Fundora versus Sergio Garcia, 12 rounds. The WBC junior middleweight title eliminator. Sergey Derevyanchenko versus Carlos Adames, 10 rounds middleweights. Eduardo Ramirez versus Miguel Mariaga, 10 rounds featherweights. We're going to come back to this card because we're going to talk about it here in a minute. Next week, December 11th, Saturday, ESPN and ESPN Plus, Vasyl Lomachenko versus Richard Comey, 12 rounds lightweights. Jared Big Baby Anderson. Hey, Beeb, do you happen to know where he's from?
Ohio.
Yeah, that's right, son. Next world champion, son. You know why? Because it's all going down in Ohio. We're going to own all sports here lately. We're going to own football. We're going to own basketball. We're going to have the heavyweight champion here. Son, it's title town, son. I told you a million times. He's fighting Alexander Teslenko, easy for me to say, 8 rounds heavyweights. Xander Zayas versus Alessio Mastronozio, 6 rounds junior middleweights. Nico Walsh Ali is going to open that card against Reyes Sanchez, 4 rounds middleweights. So that's going to be on ESPN and ESPN Plus. It's a good card, man. That's a pretty good card. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Also, too, in Showtime, next week, Nonito Donaire versus Raymart Gabalo from Carson, California. 12 rounds for Donaire's WBC bantamweight title. And also Brandon Lee, This is that's what I'm excited to see is Brandon Lee versus Juan Geraldo's 10 rounds junior lightweights. Brandon Lee is really making a name for himself over there. He's really becoming now. I want to see him fight some better competition. He's up and coming. I get it. But hopefully this is a good fight for him. He's got some power. He's got a lot of power, man. That guy's good. December 11th, a Saturday, next Saturday is full, son. It's just cards everywhere. DAZN, Conor Benn versus Chris Algieri. In case you're wondering, yes, Chris Algieri is still around. 10 rounds, welterweights. Katie Taylor. Now, okay, you want to talk about women's fight? I like Katie Taylor. Versus Firuza Sharapova. 10 rounds for Taylor's WBC and just the Unified Lightweight Championship.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. From the United Arab Emirates on Saturday, John Ryle Casimero versus Paul Butler, 12 rounds for Casimero's WBO bantamweight title. Sonny Edwards versus Jason Mama, 12 rounds for Edwards' IBF flyweight title. Donnie Nietes versus the dreaded TBA. Now, this is going to be from the UAB, and I don't see a TV listed on it. I'm imagining that BT Sports might pick it up, or maybe ESPN, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, there you go. So those are the fights. Let's talk about the fight tonight on pay-per-view, and I guess it starts at 8 or 9 tonight on the pay-per-view. I don't know what Showtime's doing. I don't like the Sunday pay-per-views. I don't like waiting until midnight to watch a fight and then getting up, you know, early for work the next day. You know, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be different if they started, like, say, at 7 and ended it by, like, 10 or 11. Better move on a Sunday, you know, but hey, listen, man, what do I know? Gervonta Davis versus Isaac Cruz for Davis's WBA regular lightweight title. Listen, man, Rolly Romero, I tell you, you know, I might have bought the fight with Rolly Romero. I may have. Rolly Romero, of course, got pulled. He got in some legal issues, some legal troubles, so he got pulled from the card. I thought that was a better fight. I really like Rolly Romero. Now, whether he won, you know, was able to beat Gervonta Davis or not, that's neither here nor there. But the Isaac Cruz, and I'm not saying Isaac Cruz isn't a good fighter. I'm just saying, I get it. There was, you know, they had to get, you know, he had to get replaced. I get it. But at this point, they should have moved it to Showtime, not Showtime pay-per-view. This should not be a pay-per-view fight. This is not a pay-per-view worthy card. And I know, Beeb, you don't like to tell people what to do with their money, but I'm telling you, this is not a pay-per-view card. And it's for the money you're going to put down on this, it just doesn't make sense. How much money? Somebody said, and I don't know if it was it you that said you had spent like $600 on pay-per-views this year?
Did you watch my video?
I did, yeah. And yeah, you spent $600-some on pay-per-view this year.
Yeah,
and I'm
watching
thinking,
UFCs, yeah.
If Beeb spent that much, I know I spent at least that much. Because we watch the same stuff.
You know what's funny? People are making fun of me just because I give my opinion on, you know, I do podcasts and I do videos and I talk about sport and I get asked questions. And I don't think it's a pay-per-view fight, right? And then people are like, oh, you're cheap, you're this, you're that, you're a hater. Basically, when someone calls you a hater, all that means is that your opinion bothers them, and they basically hate your opinion. It's one thing to disagree with someone's opinion, but if you hate my opinion, if my opinion makes you angry, it hurts you, it elicits a negative response from you, then you're the one with the problem, not me. Because there's a lot of things I buy, right, that people, if you can check my Amazon account.
What kind of stuff do you buy, Beeb?
Well, we're not going to get into that right now.
Let's get into it right now. What kind of stuff do you buy?
But I'm sure people could look at the things I buy, right? I mean, I still watch cartoons and shit. I got Disney Plus. I'm watching cartoons, whatever. People can make fun of me all they want. That's fine. And I'm going to, you know.
Cartoons?
But the thing is.
How old are you?
He's 52 this
What's the matter with you?
But getting back to what I'm saying here.
Jesus.
You know, a lot of people get angry because you give your opinion on something. Like you give reviews on products all the time. So like, say a new phone comes out, you buy the new phone, and I'm thinking of buying a new phone. Eric, how's that phone? Well, this is what I like about it. This is what I don't like about it. So we give our opinion and we give reviews on various products and things we buy all the time. Well, this is a product, right? We can't give our opinion, our review on it. We're just supposed to automatically say we're just supposed to automatically say that we think something is worth what someone else wants us to say it's worth. No, but I'm going back and forth with it, and I'm struggling with either. I acted like a tough guy all week. You know, people were saying they weren't buying this pay per view, and I'm sick. They're tweeting these tweets out. Oh, this isn't worth it. I'm not buying this pay per view, and I'm liking and I'm retweeting the tweets, acting all tough like I'm not going to buy it either. But now I'm struggling, man. I was doing well there for a while, but I'm getting the itch again. I'm that pay per view addiction that I once thought I nipped in the bud. It's starting to come back a little bit, man.
Steve, I want you to listen to me. You're a good person, and what's happening right now is that you're hitting rock bottom,
I'm hitting rock bottom again. I'm trying to fight it.
But you're around friends now. The people in the chat love you. I love you. We're all friends. You know what I mean? We're all your friends.
Jason called me yesterday telling me I should buy it.
Oh, Jason.
Then I'm watching the weigh-in. I watch the weigh-in, and I see friggin' Javonte. I'm seeing that stare down, and I'm seeing Isaac Cruz with the intensity in his eyes.
Sure.
And Tank turned away first, and then Tank pushed him, and then my juices stopped flowing again, man. I'm sick, man. I can't.
Babe.
Open.
You need to turn your TV off tonight, son. You need to just go to bed early tonight. Don't hit the buy button. You don't want to do that, brother.
I just made a review and I can't stop.
We're with you.
Help me, someone, please.
We're trying to help you, Beeb. But first, you have to help yourself. It's a terrible. It's not a terrible card, but. It's a card that I wouldn't pay for. I wouldn't think anybody. I mean, honestly, I would recommend it. You know, if you're given like a, you know, if you like Gervonta Davis and you're going to buy that, that's fine. But man, I tell you what, I wouldn't buy it. That's for sure. And if somebody asked me, hey, do you think I should buy it? I would say no, 100% no. Luis Reyes says it does it do 200K. Is it $80? Yeah, it's like $79.
It's $75.
$80.
$74.99.
You fool, son.
Come on. You could buy a friggin'.
Why don't you do me a favor? Just send that $74 to me, and I'll tell you what happens. Right. I'll tell you what happens before the price.
You could buy a Happy Meal with that $5. Come on. Don't say it.
With that $5. Tony Bartlett hit it on the head, man. Dude, you must first admit you have a problem. He's right.
I do have a problem. The fact that I'm struggling with whether or not I should buy this, I'm probably going to buy it. That's how fucking sick I am right now.
Jake Morgan hit it on the head. He said, you guys are in the business of reporting fights. The PPV is your overhead for doing this. You know, fights like this is what gets me. Like, these type of fights should be like around the $50 range. If it was around the $50 range, you know what? You might say, yeah, let me go ahead and do it. You know, I'll be curious. How much do you think this does on pay-per-view? Yeah.
I think it does about 150,000 pay-per-view buys tonight.
Wow.
The Sunday. Who the fuck's going to buy this?
I think it does about 250. I think it does about 250.
You know what? You're crazy. Like, you are killing me. You thought Canelo Plant was only going to do 300,000 pay-per-view buys.
You know what I'm going to do tonight? You know what I'm going to do tonight? Probably around like 9:30. I'm like, man, you should have ordered this fight, man. This card is off the hook, son.
This is only you're projecting this. This is only going to do 50,000 pay-per-view buys less than Canelo Plant.
Well, that's what I think.
That you projected 300,000 for Canelo Plant. Now you're projecting.
Yeah, but I was wrong. Always wrong. It doesn't matter.
But why are you overshooting this and you undershooted that by 500,000?
I don't know.
I can't.
I'm just throwing numbers out there. What do I know?
are you trying to just be a shock jock here? What's going on?
That's right. That's me. Is this for Louis Ortiz versus Charles Martin is on pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Oh, here's my theory.
Now, do you notice, like, none of these fights are on Fox anymore. I think Fox basically said, that's it. You know, we don't want any of these fights, right? They're not willing to buy any of these fights. Wilder Fury 3 had to be on friggin' ESPN Plus pay-per-view, right? Now all these fights are on Showtime. But now people are saying, well, why are they all on pay-per-view? Well, when Showtime puts these fights on pay-per-view, right?
Right here, buddy. Projection genius.
When Showtime puts these fights on pay-per-view, they assume less risk because they put up less money because it's pay-per-view, right? So the guarantees are usually smaller for the fighters, and the money that they put up is less than it would be if they were to put it on regular Showtime. Thank you so much, Freddie Mars.
Freddie Mars, you're the man. Thank you, sir.
So it goes back to what I'm saying. I think you know, Fox has pretty much exhausted their budget for PBC, and I think Showtime has pretty much exhausted their budget as well. That's why all these fights are on pay-per-view, so they put up less money. Because when a fight's pay-per-view, you know, the guarantees are usually smaller, right? Because there's going to be back-end money. So now they're going to pay these fighters, supplement some of the revenue with the back-end money from the pay-per-view purchases, right? So
yeah, it's still
I think it's a financial thing. I think Showtime has pretty much blew their budget too.
But I mean, to put this fight, I mean, like $80, charge $80 and put this fight on pay-per-view.
Well, that's the thing. Like they should at least, like you said, adjust the price, like they did with the Ortiz Charles Martin.
Something. I mean, give me like a $20 break on it at least. Something. Because watching him fight, what is the call? Just to watch Tank fight?
Well, here's the thing too. Like the biggest fights of the year was a Fury Wilder 3 was probably the biggest fight of the year, and well, no, Canelo. Canelo, from a financial standpoint, Canelo Plant was the biggest fight of the year. And then you had Fury Wilder 3, right?
Yeah.
Those were pay-per-view fights. But outside of that, I mean, Crawford Porter was a good fight, but it probably shouldn't have been on pay-per-view, right? Because Crawford, a lot of people don't, he's not mainstream. And I hate to say that because I love Crawford. Don't get me wrong. So the only two legitimate pay-per-view fights this year, if we were to be honest and objective, would have been Wilder Fury 3 and Canelo Plant, right?
Yeah.
And maybe sure. Pacquiao Ugas, because Pacquiao is a name, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So those are the three legitimate pay-per-view fights. Now, if you look at what DAZN's put on, right? What we got for DAZN, right? Cuz we got a couple Canelo fights this year on DAZN, right? We got Saunders Canelo, we got Joshua Usyk, we got Teofimo Lopez, Kamposis. We got that card last night. It was a good card with Devin Haney, Jojo Diaz. We got a lot of solid cards on DAZN. I think, you know, a lot of people like to give Eddie Hearn stick and talk shit about Eddie Hearn. But DAZN, I think it's safe to say that DAZN has given us the most bang for our buck this year when it comes to boxing. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
But think about this. People are talking shit and they're calling, you know, criticizing me for complaining. And meanwhile, I spent $600-something on pay-per-view this year. But I'm getting attacked.
You know what?
I'm putting up my hard-earned dollars. I'm a consumer. As Ring IQ has said many times, if you're a consumer, you have every right. You have every right to opine on what you're purchasing. You have every right to do that if you're consuming. Half these guys, like Ring IQ said, and I suspect it because the pay-per-views wouldn't be as low as they are if all these people who are talking all this shit on Twitter, if they actually bought the pay-per-views. So the proof is in the pudding.
You know, the other thing, too, like talking about like pay-per-views and stuff like that, it just, you know, because then it brings up streaming and that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like, If you're gonna watch it, just if you're gonna want to just buy it, because if you stream it, like number one, I mean, you do whatever you want. I don't care. I don't care what you do. But
everyone
like,
can do whatever they want. No one's gonna get shamed here.
Good luck finding like a good stream, like a solid stream that's gonna take you through the entire card without you having to switch up and go find it. You'd be in the main event, all of a sudden it goes black, and then you got to go find another one.
Yeah,
and it's
not worth the aggravation.
It really isn't. I mean, it really isn't. So I mean, like, if you want to watch the fight or whatever, I mean, I'll wait till it comes out on YouTube, and you know what I mean, or something like that. by
it'll
watch
be on
highlights
Showtime.
Or whatever. It'll be on Showtime next week.
It'll be on Showtime next week.
It'll be on Showtime next week for sure. For sure.
And it'll be just in time for us. If we don't want to buy it, we can watch it on Saturday. Then we can break it down on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. I'll wait a week. I don't care. I'll wait a week to get it done.
I'm probably going to buy it because I'm such a piece of
trash. Stop it, man.
I'm such a piece of garbage.
Stop
I'm going to buy it.
$600 on horrible PPVs.
Thank you, King. way to just twist that knife right there.
He deserves it, King. He deserves it, man. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. All right, let's talk about Manscaped here for a few minutes. This is the holiday season, Beeb, and I'm giving thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Do I tell you, my extended family, that I have the Performance Package 4.0 from the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming? Not to mention it includes their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to score brownie points with the in-laws. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped with 20% off and free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word, RINGSIDEREPORTER, by going to manscaped.com. You think your holiday spread is good? It's time to give thanks to the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, the perfect package for your package. Inside, you'll find their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver deodorant, crop reviver toner, and performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. Their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop up your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ear. And, Beeb, you've used it. Does it work pretty well?
Like a charm, baby.
I tell you what, everything we've gotten, everything we've tried from Manscaped has been great. I mean, it really has, from the shampoo, from the cologne, everything. The boxers, I love the boxers. They're so comfortable.
Look at these nostrils, man. You can't even see any hairs coming out of them, man.
It's insane. It's insane. And you're like a werewolf over there. You know, and the fact that this works on you is amazing to me.
I mean, I'm Lebanese, man. I got more hair than a friggin' chia pet.
Be the chia pet. That's how it is.
I'm like Sasquatch, baby.
Listen, we can't forget Manscaped's liquid formulations. They're like the pumpkin pie and ice cream after Thanksgiving dinner. Can't live without it. The Crop Preserver deodorant and Crop Reviver toner spray. For the gifters out there, Manscaped to seal the deal with two free gifts in their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favorite. Listen, I know we draw names at Christmas, and I got my two in-laws, my two brother-in-laws. 100% they're getting Manscaped stuff for Christmas.
Manscaped,
it's not
baby.
Even close, baby.
Whether you like it or not.
Even close.
You're getting Manscaped, baby.
Trust me, this is what you're getting. And if it spoils the surprise, listen, I don't care. This is what you're getting, son. Like it or not. They're going to love it, though. I guarantee it. Manscaped has been busy, and they just launched a refined body wash. I got this, too. This is amazing. 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner. Both featured Manscaped signature scent and will help unlock your confidence this year. Your boys and body will be so fresh, so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash, shampoo, and conditioner. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word, RINGSIDEREPORTER, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. Be thankful this holiday season for the best gift of all from Manscaped. Thank you so much.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I mean this with the utmost sincerity.
Sure.
You're a fucking natural, man. They got to increase the fee every month just because
they're
how good you are.
Right. They're gonna have.
You've been doing such a great job every week. You're just. They should just take you as their spokesman. You should just do all their commercials, and people should just get video spots of you promoting this product. That's how good you are at promoting this product, man. I'm not even kidding. I got to agree.
I'm
not even being biased. I'm being 100% objective. You do a phenomenal job.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, he does a great job.
Lois likes me, too. Lois likes me, yeah. too. All right. So Chandler M. last week failed at the competition. I mean, he did. He failed.
Just because you text Nacho the answers when he's on there, because you and Nacho got a little, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but.
He failed. One of the lucky callers tonight will win this. His gift that he failed to get last week.
Come on. You're just mad because he made you have throw a pie in your face last week. Big hater, you.
The Manscaped 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Hair wash and conditioner. So there you go. One of you guys call in right now and give us your take. And if we like it, maybe you'll get it. We'll see. We'll see. All right. All right. Let's go to the phones here real quick before we go to the news and rumors here. Area code 530. I believe that's Robert.
Hello,
Robert.
Guys. Yes, it's me. Joe,
hey,
you need to fight that addiction, man. You need to fight that addiction. This is not worth paying $75.
Well, Mrs. Herrick,
for.
Mrs. Herrick already showed me. Mrs. Herrick already showed me the DirecTV receipt. You already bought it.
No,
you already bought
it.
I'm not buying anything on a Sunday. I got
man.
It right here.
Forget it.
Don't make me pull it up and show everybody.
Yeah. Keep dreaming, Joe. Keep dreaming. you know. By the way, that was a good fight last night. Devin Haney dominated Diaz. It was Jojo, you get everything he's got, but he was thoroughly dominated last night. I wouldn't argue with either one of you scoring it 10-2. That, you know, makes sense to me.
How'd you score it?
I had it 9-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter had it close, and I don't know. I just didn't see it that way, to be honest.
I think they were being influenced, Joe, by those DAZN announce team. They try to make fights.
They're horrible.
They try to make fights more exciting than what they are. Last night, you couldn't make that fight more exciting because, frankly, I mean, JoJo did the best he could, but styles make fights. You know?
I agree.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
So, and I do want to see Haney go over to Australia and fight Kambosos. I think that'll be a very good fight. And looking at it very early, because we don't know when it's going to take place, and with this new COVID variant, we don't know how that's going to go. But looking at the matchup early, Eric, I got to agree with you. I think Haney wins it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he wins it fairly easy. And Kambosos is a pressure fighter, and I think Haney will deal with that real easy.
Yep. I know Kambosos said he was going to the Davis fight tonight to scout him. And he's also going to look at Lomachenko next Saturday in New York. But I think the fight to make would be Haney, you know.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know.
What is it? I can't read it.
It's not
reading, son. One-time charges. Did you just buy it?
No.
It says one-time charges, 184.
Look at this. Look at the HD boxing. See where it says HD boxing right there? Look.
Jeez.
Look at all those pay-per-views.
We're sick. I'm telling you.
See all those pay-per-views right there? HD boxing. Look at the prices. See it?
I did.
Sick.
You're a sick man. We're all sick, though. But I'm not sick enough to watch that fight tonight, I'll tell you that. Are you watching that fight, Robert?
No, I'm not going to watch that fight tonight. I'm not buying that.
You said
that
not on a Sunday? You got to work tomorrow?
He already bought it. He's a phony.
No.
He's acting all tough now because he wants to be cool. He bought the thing.
Come on. Have you ever known me to tell you that I have not? Have you ever known me to say when I say no, I'm not buying a pay-per-view? Have you ever known me to change my mind and buy it anyway?
Yeah, all the time.
No, come on, Joe. You're not being realistic here. Uh-huh. Okay, Joe. Let's see how good your sickness is going to be on December 18th. Are you going to buy Jake Paul too?
Oh, keep throwing salt in the wound. You think it's funny that I have this sickness. You want to make light of this sickness. That's what you want to do.
You think it's easy
being addicted to pay-per-view.
You're going to accuse me of buying something that I'm not buying. I'm going to throw salt in the wound.
Just because you have escorts going over there every other day, man. Don't make fun of me.
Listen,
don't
Joe,
make fun of me.
I've seen some of those escorts, and they're very attractive escorts. I don't blame you for buying
tall girls every other day, man. Don't stop making fun of my addiction.
Very nice women there. Yeah,
hey, in California, we have good looking women, man. What can I tell you?
Good looking escorts. I hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
But seriously, on another subject, guys, how competitive do you think Chris Algieri will be against Conor Benn?
Wow, it's interesting.
Not at all. I don't think it's interesting at all. I think Conor Benn kills him.
Of
course Conor Benn murders that guy.
He's like a part-time fighter right now, huh, Chris Algieri?
Yeah.
When was the last time he fought?
When was the last time
Algieri fought? Like 72?
That was my next question I was going to ask you, because last week he was on DAZN, you know, being a commentator. So how seriously is he taking boxing these days? You know?
I don't know, but I didn't see Conor Benn on there announcing anything, so.
No.
So, yeah, Algieri's getting killed, man. He's getting
37 years old. He's getting up there, too, huh?
Yep. So,
yeah, I don't know if he needs money or what. I don't know what he's fighting. I mean,
I don't think he needs money. I mean,
you don't think he needs money? Wasn't he living in his parents' basement or something like that? Yeah, I would say he needs money, son.
Yeah.
He's a master's degree in nutrition, man.
And he was living in his parents' basement, son. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I got a master's degree, too. I'm not living in my parents' basement.
Made $7 million against Manny Pacquiao. What are you talking about? Come on.
I remember
Chris Algieri net worth right now. Chris Algieri net worth.
I remember he was also Danny Jacobs' nutritionist. So
they're like really good friends.
So how seriously is he taking? You know, I'm wondering
Chris Algieri.
If okay.
Chris Algieri has a net worth of $18 million. And
They saw his bank account, huh?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there.
What's Teofimo Lopez's net worth?
Well, you don't want to know.
Because he had, like, what, $20,000 to his name? Go ahead and Google it. See what it says. Because those things are always right.
Oh, they have the Biebs right. I mean, come on.
They have the Biebs right? $42.50.
They're saying he has an estimated net worth, Teofimo Lopez, of $2.5 million. But this was before. This was before he had this horrific year this year.
Bad year, son.
He had a bad year this year.
Yeah, he sure did, man.
Got $20,000 left of that $2.5 million, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but luckily he got paid for this fight. I'm sure he got paid a pretty amount for this fight.
Yeah,
so that was good.
He got some money for this fight.
You know what's messed up about that is that they said he was, you know, he was down, and Teofimo admitted this. He said he was down to his last $20,000. Like, how much money he made. But, like, again, like, you think that he's got the undisputed lightweight champion, right? And you think he's got this huge house, he's got no money problems or anything like that. These guys don't get – the money that these guys get paid goes right back out for training expenses. They got to pay other people in their entourage and stuff like that, and people helping them. And it's a lot of money, man. It is a lot of money. They get a lot of money, but a lot of money comes in and goes right back out. And he's an undisputed champion, right? It's just one of those things, man. We have this big perception that there's no way they would need money. They're rolling in it now because he's a title holder. He's got undisputed.
Uncle Sam's taking 40% right off the top. Then you got to pay. Then the promoter's got to take their chunk, and then the friggin' trainers, and then. Nutritionist.
It was about one third. I think we calculate one third. They're getting about one third of their purse, maybe. Just depends.
Yeah.
you know, it depends on how much the purse is or whatever, but those big purses, yeah, they're getting about one-third of that.
I remember Robert Garcia broke down. If a fighter makes $1 million, he only gets like $250,000 when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everyone wants to sit there and count fighters' pockets and say they don't deserve this, they don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Come on.
There it is.
Not me.
All right, Robert, we're going to get rolling, man. Stay on the
line
here.
Okay, see you guys.
What was that?
All right, man, enjoy the pay-per-view tonight. Stop fucking capping.
516, you're live.
What's up? What's up, Jesse Weekend, brother? How you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on?
I was actually What's up? I actually know B fairly well. I think I'm pretty sure he's going to buy the pay-per-view tonight. I don't think you guys are giving Kambosos enough credit, man. I'm giving him a good shot against Haney, and you know, I think he's going to fare pretty well on defending the titles, you know. So I think he's going to surprise you guys more on the defense and stuff. Eric, you don't like Amanda Serrano?
You know what? I don't like Amanda Serrano. Is it her trainer? Is that her husband or whatever? After that last fight,
I'm not sure,
he was making fun of that girl that was knocked out or whatever. No, she's a very good boxer. I will tell you that. She's a very good boxer.
Telling you, you're going to have the Women's League. The Women's League.
I know. What is it? I'm getting Me Too'd over here over this?
I was saying I think she's going to be like the face of female boxing, you know, because she's the – she's the co-main event to these Jake Paul cards, you know. And,
Jake Paul fight.
He loves Jake
he's
Paul.
He's Jake
co-main.
Paul's my dude. I'm buying
she's
that.
Gonna be
I'm
huge
not buying tonight's pay-per-view, but I'm buying.
Jake Paul fight.
You know what, Jess? You know what? Stop. You know what Jesse bought me? He bought me a Jake Paul. I got your hat shirt.
There you go. What's up with dudes buying clothes, man?
People buy me things, man.
They buy you clothes.
You're a celebrity like the Beeb. You get things. You get gifts.
See, I got people like Manscaped sending me stuff, and you got Jesse Weekend buying
you got
me
man,
shirts.
You got
Manscaped.
Well.
Sending
got
me
Jesse
too, man. That's what my
you
calls
sending
me.
Yeah.
You send me shit too, man. What a hypocrite
Manscaped
you are.
You
send me stuff all the time. You always send me stuff.
Manscaped sent you stuff to promote them, so I sent Beach stuff to promote me. You know, follow Jesse Reekin at Jesse Reekin 1. Check out Jesse Reekin.
People give you shirts all the time because they want you to wear them so you can promote them, Eric.
I got your hat.
It's a great shirt.
Yes.
You're not promoting anything.
I went out one day, and I was walking down. I was at the Encore Casino, right?
Encore Casino? You're always walking around at the casino.
Right? This is me and my friend do. My friend comes, picks me up on Fridays. We either go out to Indian food or Thai food. After we eat it, the Thai food, the Indian food.
Yeah.
Then we drive to the casino. We like to walk around, check out the honey dips, right? So I had the shirt on, and I'm walking through the casino, right?
It got your hat shirt?
Up, girl with the I got your hat shirt. Girl comes up to me and says, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt? That's a cool shirt, man." I'm not going to tell you what happened after that, but it was a good night. Just because I was wearing that shirt.
You left with her 18-year-old boyfriend and went home.
I take it you're not going to watch the Jake Paul fight, right? You're not going to order it, right? Okay, but
I'm going to order it.
If Jake Paul beat...
I'm going to order it, yeah.
Are you really?
From Ohio, son, I got to. Yeah, he's from Ohio.
If Jake Paul beats Fury, does he get taken as serious as a boxer or no?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. I think it depends on how he looks. I tell you what. Yeah, you know what? I think I would. Because I think it's a bad matchup for him. I think Tommy Fury walks that fight.
Wow.
I do. I think Tommy Fury walks that fight. And I like Jake Paul, but I think Tommy Fury walks that fight, son. This is
if Fury does beat him, I will say this. I think that's the end of the Jake Paul wave. No more pay-per-views
and
stuff.
I think so,
because
too.
The whole thing is to see him lose, right? That's what people are waiting for. So if Fury does win, like your prediction, and walks him, I think that the Jake Paul phenomenon dies out, right?
Yeah, and Jake Morgan said, who is Fury beat? He's a reality TV star with a few fights. Yeah, but the thing is, he's fought real fighters.
He has an amateur background, though, and he's a real boxer.
He's fought real fighters. That's my thing, is that he's fought real fighters. I mean, Ben Askren is not – Ben Askren's a real fighter, but he's not a real boxer. Jake Paul or Tommy Fury has fought real boxers, and that's kind of where I'm coming from on this.
Here's the problem, though. Tommy Fury is like a 175-pounder. Jake Paul is like a 190-pounder. So Jake Paul is bigger. Jake Paul, I think, he's got some power. I think I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's a very intriguing fight, man. I wouldn't be surprised if Jake Paul won this fight. I wouldn't. I'm going back and forth with this. I'm having a hard time. This is like one of the hardest fights I've ever tried to break down and pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that being said, I mean, it is set up for him to win. He should win this fight. Jake Paul should win. And I think he's probably going to be the betting favorite. I don't know.
Yeah, he'd be a favorite, I think.
I just think that Tommy Fury has got too much. Again, he's fought real guys.
Yeah.
He's fought real boxers. And I get it. He's 10-0 or whatever. And I get it, he hasn't fought anyone. I gotcha. But he's fought real guys. And that does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. Not to mention his stamina. I think Jake Paul is going to have stamina issues in that fight. I just think that it's a bad matchup for him. I've always thought Fury was a bad matchup for him.
Yeah.
Fury looked bad in the last fight.
He won
every round in the last fight.
Yeah, but
he
didn't look that great. He was supposed to knock out that opponent.
Oh, sure he was. But he won every round.
Jake Paul was supposed to knock out Tyrone Woodley, though, too, right? No?
Yeah, I would think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about the rumor that Woodley was told that not to knock out Jake Paul?
I think it's nonsense.
I don't believe that.
I think it's nonsense.
I think it's nonsense.
I'm just trying to add fuel to the fire, store up a little controversy.
All right, Jesse, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much. Also,
Jesse,
guys,
I just want to say congratulations on that thing we talked about, man. I'm so fucking proud of you, man.
What did he do?
Well, it's a little off. I don't want to talk about it on camera, but he did something really good.
He did something real good, so why not share the news? I don't know.
It's like a personal thing.
What did he do?
Man. I'll tell you offline.
Just tell me online. We're online now.
Can't do it.
I'm not on. What's the matter with you?
Guy code.
Will you ask a girl out and she said, yeah?
No.
You got a girl, huh? All right.
Nothing like that.
All right. Listen, man, I tried. I mean, we're just trying to.
I don't want to put his information up there.
We're just trying to entertain people. Yeah, why don't we just tell me offline. Don't worry about it. Just keep him in suspense. Don't worry about it.
Well, we have legal responsibilities on this show. You know that.
What legal responsibilities?
We have to follow HIPAA regulations and all that.
HIPAA regulations. Follow HIPAA regulations.
We have to.
What kind of news was this?
This is why you don't.
Congratulations
you
on your vasectomy.
Go.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you don't go.
What's the matter with you?
Because you don't go to the human resources meetings that we have here at Beebe Industries. You're not up to speed on this stuff.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. So, guys, if you want to call and win the shampoo, win the 2-in-1 conditioner, free of charge. I'll send it to you. The Manscaped. Give us a call in now, 323-870-3857. And let's talk about the news right now, man. So Triple G and Ryota Murata was postponed. As Japan is shutting down its borders, what was the other one that was postponed? Ioka, was it Jermaine Anakahasa that was postponed?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple of them.
I don't remember who it was, but I know Golovkin Murata was the big one. And due to the new COVID variant, Omicron, I guess they're shutting down the borders. I guess Japan is shutting down the borders, and that's it, man.
So
yeah, it's kind of crazy because, you know, there's so much uncertainty with this new variant.
Yeah.
Some people they don't know how dangerous it is. There is some information that's saying it's less dangerous, but they don't know for sure. So there's a lot of uncertainty. They're kind of playing it by ear.
Well, I heard that they don't know if it's more dangerous. I heard it was like milder. But
I heard it was milder too, but some people are trying to say
like
it's not.
The vaccine may not work on certain strains of it or something like that. I don't know.
But then, yeah, I'm hearing that, and then some people are saying that all of the strains have a similar protein that the vaccine will help with.
Nobody knows.
I don't know. I don't know who to believe. And with all due respect, I'm not even going to say because I don't want to put us in jeopardy of getting a strike. But
what's the matter with you?
There's one guy that says a lot of things, and he's all over the place.
Ho! I know who you're talking about. What's the matter with you?
Is he from Ohio, too?
He's doctor, son.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is it Beeb MD? I know it's not Lorta MD. I don't claim, you know. I'm just saying.
Well,
the guy is a doctor. You know what? I've got, my two in-laws. They're both doctors. I don't know if I told you guys that.
You didn't tell me that before.
They said
Beeb Industries,
he's that guy you're talking about, wrote some of their textbooks. He writes medical textbooks, son.
But here's the thing. We have an extensive medical team here over at Beeb Industries that we confide in. So, you know, we have a lot of resources here to get information that we need. And we're constantly evolving, just like science.
Oh, good.
So, I mean,
like science.
You gotta respect the staff over here at Beeb Industries, man. I mean, you've seen what's happened this last year, how much we've, you know.
Well,
I
will tell you this.
Benefits.
I love my office at Beeb Industries.
Yeah,
my
we give you a nice
is very
office.
Plush. You guys see it here.
We upgraded your benefits package, you know. We've given
Which
you,
is very
given
nice.
Giving you a nice stipend to buy equipment. I mean, come on.
For sure. Absolutely.
Please.
JC's like, I hope massage parlors don't shut down again.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen for sure. You know what's crazy is that on the schedule on the 14th, Naoya Inoue is scheduled to fight. Now that fight is still scheduled, and I haven't heard anything about that fight being shut down.
Yeah, someone else was telling me about this too.
I wonder what they're going to do here. I wonder if they're going to shut it down or what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to shut it down or all the way or just like, you know, because if they're that concerned with it, I mean, you got a big group of people there. I mean, you know.
So let me ask you this. Do you think Golovkin's going to scrap this fight with Murata, and you think he'll fight – Golovkin a third time Canelo. You think Golovkin will fight Canelo a third time?
I don't think Canelo wants to fight him a third time. I really don't. I don't think Canelo wants to fight him a third time.
No, you don't think so?
No. What is that? Oh, somebody's putting the stream out there. Server 3 Sports or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what he does. I'll be honest with you. You know, listen, man, what are you going to do now? Are you going to wait for Murata? I don't even know that he's fought this. Triple G hasn't fought at all this year, has he? Or has
no.
he? No. He hasn't fought at all this year. So now you're going to wait next year to fight Murata. We don't know when those borders are going to open back up. You don't know what's going to go on with this. They can't move the fight. Okay? Because I was thinking about this too. They can't really move the fight because you're not going to get the kind of money you would have got fighting in Japan because Murata's like a big star over there.
Robbie's trying to tell me Murata's Triple G's mandatory, but how can he be Triple G's mandatory when he has a WBA regular belt and Golovkin has the IBF middleweight belt?
I don't know.
I'm not doubting you, Robert, but it doesn't seem to make sense what you're saying.
No, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all.
I don't think he is the mandatory.
No.
Because he has a WBA regular belt and Golovkin has the IBF. It's a unification fight, Robert.
JC says, can Murata come over here completely shut down without shutdown even going out? Basically, can he come over to the U.S.? No, he can't. They can't go anywhere. I mean,
They can't leave Japan?
Well, they can, okay? But again, for the amount of money they were going to get paid over there,
Yeah. They were going to have like 80,000 people in that arena or whatever. It was going to be a huge thing. And New Year's fights in Japan are always huge, you know, so that was going to be their big thing over there. So you can't really take that and move it over here because you're not going to get the same kind of money. And they're not going to fight each other without that kind of money. You know, so it's a bad situation. It's a really bad situation for him.
Now, obviously, this is prize fighting, and Golovkin's getting older, and he's trying to cash out. We get that. But he's really, like, going over the top here. Like, he's really trying to cash out here. Like, this is basically, to me, this fight is a cash grab because there's a lot better fights out there for him. And this is what's kind of frustrating with Golovkin. And again, it's just my opinion. I mean, I know people are going to say, I'm hating.
Why are you hating on him, man?
But he's really never tried to unify these titles, man. Everyone talks shit about how Canelo never tried to unify down at 160. Name one fighter, right, since Bernard Hopkins or Jermaine Taylor. Name one fighter since Jermaine Taylor that tried to unify the and even Jermaine Taylor. Let's go back to Bernard Hopkins, because after Jermaine Taylor won the fight against Hopkins and he became the undisputed, he vacated, a couple of the belts. I can't remember which ones. But besides Bernard Hopkins, whoever unified these titles at middleweight and actually held on to them and tried to keep them unified.
You know, that being said, not a whole lot of people wanted to fight him at 160. I mean, realistically, yeah, not a whole lot of people were coming out of the woodwork to fight that guy.
I think Andre would have fought him.
Especially the other champions. Now, Jaime Munguia wants to fight him. I mean, now you got a bunch of guys because he's on the downslide.
Saunders and Andre wanted to fight him, and I remember
Saunders did not want to fight him. I don't think Saunders would want him afterward
he did. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, Abel Sanchez said that they would never take that Saunders fight or what, something on the line to that. I don't know. There was a time, though, when Saunders didn't want to. There was a time when people didn't want to fight him. But then after the Jacobs fight,
yeah,
and after the first Canelo fight back in 2018-ish, I think, people started to want to fight him.
Right.
And then he started not wanting to fight people, seemed to me. That's my opinion. That's my interpretation of it. It's not that my opinion is the end all be all, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Tito Dana says thoughts on the ESPN report about Tio's health. Let's talk about that for a minute here. So the doctor says that Teofimo Lopez was lucky to be alive. According to Lopez's medical records, the 24-year-old former undisputed champion was diagnosed with pneumomediastinum. I think I said that right. With extensive
pneumomediastinum.
Okay. With extensive air in the retropharyngeal space. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Listen,
that's the esophagus area.
Correct. By emergency room doctors during his post-fight visit to Bellevue Hospital. Quote, the air surrounding his chest wall and his heart and his neck, places where the air is not supposed to be, said Dahl, who worked as a ringside physician for New York State Athletic Commission. If he was hit in the neck or chest a certain way, in a certain place, he could have developed pneumothorax or a collapsed lung. He would have instantly been down and unable to breathe and needing a chest tube. Lopez didn't cancel the fight because he thought it was just asthma. And honestly, we touched on this earlier, another reason may have been that he had $20,000 to his name. He is said to be running out of money with the COVID, with this whole thing, not fighting and everything like that. I mean, the whole Triller thing, moving it. He was in a bad situation, man. But they said, the doctor said that this wouldn't have turned up in a regular checkup, in a regular ringside, you know, physical checkup. And it doesn't. Those things are real quick. It's not like they examine you from head to toe, and it's just like going in and maybe getting a physical or something. They're very fast, you know. It's not like anything would. It's just like they wouldn't catch anything major, you know, if you went for a physical, you know, unless they did like all kinds of blood work and workups and everything like that. So yeah, I mean, is this something that'll stop him moving forward?
Well, here's the thing, Aaron. I did some research on this, and it's very rare, right? But do you know how you get this? in most cases, from blunt force trauma by getting hit in the chest. Who hit him in the chest a couple months, like, what was it, like a month or so before
about
this
a
fight?
A month ago, yeah. The mountain son.
He lets a 300-pound guy.
A mountain.
He stands there and lets a 300-pound guy punch him in the chest.
That's a big dude, too.
Right?
He's a big guy standing
squared up with your arms by your side, letting this guy. And you know, you can flex your ab muscles, right?
Right.
But you can't flex your fucking sternum. You can flex your pecs, right?
Yep.
But when you flex your pecs, you're not protecting your sternum. So the guy hit him right in the fucking chest. You could see him go like that.
It was a hard shot.
He hit him with a fucking hard shot. I don't give a fuck you had a glove on or not.
That's the fucking stupidity.
So, again, I'm not a doctor, but pneumomediastinum in most cases occurs from blunt force trauma to the chest. Where did the fucking mountain hit him in that video?
Right in the chest.
Right in the fucking chest.
Yep.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this one out. Right? Which is another dumb move in the long string of dumb moves these guys have made since they beat Lomachenko.
Tito Donna says, he said it could happen due to excessive coughing, probably from COVID. That's a good point, too. That's a good point. In fact, you know, neither one of those situations are ideal, him getting hit by a 300-pound guy or, you know, getting COVID. But
again,
that makes a lot of sense.
That is a possibility, too, but you would have to cough really hard to do that.
Well, I mean, with COVID, I mean, listen, man. And he had COVID, so you kind of wonder. That's the other thing, too, with these guys, with, like, these athletes or whatever, catching COVID. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, you're okay. You may be okay, and you may be, but the long-term effects of this stuff, you know, that could end your career.
Everyone, it affects everyone differently, so,
yeah.
we can't rule that out.
Yeah.
But I would say this. I don't think it was a smart thing to let a 300-pound guy punch you in the fucking chest.
No.
Because you had COVID, you have asthma, right? And then you're letting someone punch you in the chest, which is where your lungs and your fucking bronchial tubes are.
Yeah, just not a good move.
It's not a smart thing to do. Just not.
No, it's not a good move at all, man.
Right? You know, and let me just say this, and again, I'm not kicking someone when they're down, but a lot of people are trying to give Tio a pass, saying, well, you know, it's not his fault, it's his dad's fault. I had a great conversation with D-Style about this, and he brought up a phenomenal point, because I was talking to D-Style, and I said, D-Style, do you think people are going out of their way to try to give Tio a pass on this and just blaming his father? And he said, you know what, Pete? Because what about Danny Garcia and his father? What about all how crazy Danny Garcia's father used to act? But Danny never acted like that, right?
Yeah.
Danny would just say, well, that's just how my father is. That's just how he is. You know, that's his way, whatever. But you would see Tio Sr., you know, throw a tirade and just make these outlandish statements and go crazy. And then Tio Jr. would stand right next to him and start yelling alongside him and co-sign and double down on everything he said. So I'm not going to give him the pass because he didn't have to co-sign him with his dad. He could have been his own man, right? He's 24 years old, got married, had a child. I know he's still going to develop and grow as a person. I'm not the same person at 52 that I was at 24. But let me tell you this. My dad was a loudmouth too. May he rest in peace. I looked at my dad and I said to myself, I don't want to act like that because I was embarrassed. So no one told him to sit there and go along with his dad and not be his own man and act a fool and double down and co-sign and say your own stupid things on top of that. Because we've seen, like I said, Danny Garcia is a prime example. He's his own man. You know, Sean Porter is his own person, right? They don't act like their dad. This guy was doubling down and saying, and here's a prime example of the difference between Camposas and Teofimo Lopez. Camposas won the title, right? Are you undisputed? I don't know. You know, he whatever, you know, however people wanted to perceive me, that's up to them. whatever. But I know I'm the man who beat the man. What do you think about Devin Haney? Great fighter. What do you think, Tank Davis? Great fighter. When Teofimo Lopez was asked all these questions, all he did was shit on everyone. He was very arrogant, very conceited. You could tell he went Hollywood and he was big-headed. And the old saying is, pride before the fall, right?
Yeah.
Pride before the fall. And this was the prime example of that, the old Bible verse. I'm not a religious person, but that's a very applicable, proverb that, fits this situation perfectly. Pride before the fall. And that's what this was a prime example of. And, they made all this money. They thought they were on top of the world. They overestimated their position. They overestimated their leverage. They're sitting there comparing themselves to Floyd Mayweather. The guy had 16 fights. He won one big fight. Full credit to him. I was high on him. But the more and more I started listening to him talk, him along with his father, they became very unlikable and very distasteful. And, you reap what you sow. And I feel bad for him, but at the same token, he made the bet. He's got to lay in it now.
Yeah.
Made a lot of stupid moves, a lot of dumb moves.
Yeah. Not good, man. Not good for him.
Burned a lot of bridges along the way, too.
You got to think he did. I mean, you really got to think he did. I mean, and, he kind of caused this. I'll be honest, man. I've always thought he has been inactive this year as his only fight of the year. But it's kind of been on him. I mean, it's kind of been on him because, again, he's the one that got COVID that caused the fight to move. And you could say, well, that's not his fault. Yeah, it kind of is because they had the vaccine. He could have taken that vaccine.
Well, here's another thing, too. He sits there and says, well, the reason why, he really was feeling shitty. And his dad told him to go to the hospital. But he refused. If I'm the father, I'm saying either you go to the hospital or I'm pulling you out of the fight. The reason why they didn't pull out of this fight, and there's one reason and one reason only, and I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
They were broke.
Broke.
They never should have fought this fight. And if they weren't so hard up for cash and they weren't so depleted, that's why Joey Gamache wasn't there. They couldn't afford to pay Joey Gamache.
Couldn't afford him or the nutritionist, yeah.
Or the nutritionist. That's why I was saying to myself, why are these guys gone? What do they think they can do without him now? What are they're that big headed that they think they don't need him anymore? But no, it all came down to the money. He had 20. The training camp cost $250,000, right? He just had a baby. I don't think he has insurance. How much does it cost to have a baby? How much money does that cost?
It's expensive. It is real expensive, man.
Right?
I tell you what, it's expensive.
And then
you got to
pay for all the things the baby needs, right? So
yeah,
it's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts.
And who knows? Who knows how much in hawk he was before the Lomachenko fight, right? And now he moved in, his dad and his mom, they're all living together now. They all live in the same house. He's supporting. Seems to be like he said. He's supporting his family now too. Now he's going to support his wife that he separated from. He's going to support his child. He's in a tough situation, bro.
It's a bad situation. Yeah, and I tell you His family is doing him no favors. They are doing him no favors.
And then people are sitting there saying, well, he shouldn't get rid of his dad. He should just bring someone else in. No, he's got to get rid of it. You can still love your dad, have a relationship with your dad, but your dad cannot work with you anymore in terms of boxing.
Right.
And then everyone's sitting there saying, well, he prepared him for the Lomachenko fight and the Diaz fight. Did he really? You don't think Joey Gamache and the nutritionist had anything to do with that preparation?
Right.
So this is the situation, right? Yeah, there was a lot of talks about him struggling to make the weight. You don't think with the nutritionist not being there, that didn't hurt him
in
terms of trying to make the weight?
It had to.
Had to, right?
And so, he could talk about growing out of his body and he's still growing. Listen, you stop growing when you're 18. You do. It's a matter of fact. You do. Your body stops growing at 18. You're not still growing at 25.
Listen, everyone has a tough weight cut, right?
Yep.
Josh Taylor has a tough weight cut. Devin Haney has a tough weight cut, right? Tank's missed weight a few times, but it's part of the game. Got to get it done. And who's to say you're going to go up to 140 and you're going to be a better fighter at 140 than you are at 135? Because 140 is tough. You got Regis Prograis up there, you know. You got Josh Taylor up there, right? You got Jose Cepeda up there. You got Jose Ramirez up there. I think you're going to just go up to 140 and take on Josh Taylor, and that's going to be a walk in the park.
Right.
Do you think Josh Taylor is going to sit there and wait for you when he's got a carpet fight waiting in the wings? He's busting out of the seams at 140 himself, saying he's got to move up to 147. So
yeah,
again,
exactly.
I my heart goes out to Pipimo Lopez, but part of me says he did it to himself.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I really would. Bob Arum says that Terrence Crawford should look to get more money if he can get it. He says, as we mentioned, the pay-per-view tanked, did not do well at all. And my guess, where do you think Crawford goes? I think he goes to the PBC for at least his next fight. But, I don't know,
you
man.
Know, here's the
He's
problem.
He's not a big
the,
draw. He's not a big
here's
draw.
The, here's the problem with going to the PBC. When Keith Thurman was active, and Spence was calling him out, he wouldn't fight Spence. He said, "Go get a title." Then Spence got the title. He still wouldn't fight him. Then you got guys like Jamal Charlo being called out by Benavidez over there. So he can go over there. That's great, but I'm still questioning whether or not the guys over there will fight him. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I think he can get some people to fight him. Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's definitely a better situation. It'll definitely be a better situation than staying at top rank.
For sure. For sure.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not questioning the move. I'm just being realistic, looking at history and saying, just because you go over there, that doesn't mean all these fights are going to be like snap, crackle, pop. They're going to get these fights that we want.
Right. Just because he's on the same side of the street. CN, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He said, "I'm sorry, but Haney isn't the next Floyd, not even close. We are seeing many vulnerabilities and spots, even though he's winning." It is. He's not the next Floyd. I agree with you 100%. 100%. But he's not that kind of fighter. He's not that kind of fighter, though.
I think, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, I saw some improvement yesterday. I saw him shortening up shots. I seen him sitting down on shots more. I seen him being more active, more aggressive, right? He looked to be in great shape. I just thought that he improved. I think that he was in there with a tougher guy than Linares. I think Jojo Diaz at this stage of his career, I would think, would be a more challenging, tougher fight for him than Linares was.
Yeah.
And I just thought he improved a little bit.
Yeah.
I saw some improvements. I liked what he did last night. And I know, and that's just my opinion. A lot of people weren't impressed with him at all last night. They were very critical of him. Some people think that fight could have been a draw. It could have been,
Stop.
You know. I scored the fight. I think at best you can give JoJo rounds 4, 7, and 12.
That's it.
I don't think he can give him any. I mean, he won 9-3. Now did JoJo win a couple shots here and there? Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't win a round on a shot, though.
But you can't. But I'm not giving you a round for having a good 25, 30 seconds when the other guy,
right.
You know.
Right.
I probably scored round 7 incorrectly when I was watching it. I just thought that Haney won it. Most people, all three judges gave it to JoJo, and you gave it to JoJo. Most people that I talked to gave the 7th round to JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
But one judge gave the 12th round to Haney.
Yeah.
I don't think Haney won the 12th round.
Right.
So, I mean, at best, that fight was 9-3 in my opinion. Maybe 8-4.
Right.
Maybe. But you know, I just don't think it was close. That's just my opinion.
I don't think so either.
I'm not going to scorecard shame anyone because my scorecards aren't always the greatest, but that's just how I saw it.
Yeah. Jake Morgan says, why are people just not giving cadence to the fact that maybe Kambosos was that good? I saw a lot of things. I saw a lot of good things in that fight. I did too, and I think he's right. I think he's right in the sense that, you know, if Teofimo was, you know, everybody's saying, well, Teofimo was this and he almost died in the fight, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the fact is he signed the fight, he got in there and he got beat and he got beat. It just is what it is. You know, he got knocked down it was a close fight. I give you that. It was a close fight, but at the end of the day, he got beat. Plain and simple. Give Gambosos his credit. And I think most people are giving Gambosos credit.
Listen,
you know.
Listen, by me saying I think Lomachenko, Haney, and Tank would beat Kambosos. I'm not taking anything away from him. Kambosos has earned the right, until someone beats him, to call himself the best lightweight in the world. He beat the man who beat the man.
Yeah.
Now, if he fights Devin Haney next, or if he fights Tank next, or if he fights Lomachenko next, I'm just being honest. I'm picking those guys over him. I don't think he'll beat those guys. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he beats Haney either. I don't think he beats
I don't think he beats Haney. I don't think he beats Lomachenko.
I don't think Timo beats Haney, so.
Yeah, I don't think he beat – I don't think Tank – I think Tank beats Kambosos. Just think he does.
That's a good fight.
Great fight.
That's a major fight.
If you ask me which fight I would love to see next in the lightweight division.
That's the one, son.
And we may get it. We may get it because, you know, they could make it worth Tank's while.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could say to themselves, this guy's a good fighter. He's gritty, but he's not a huge puncher. We've seen him get knocked down by Tio. Maybe Tio wasn't 100%, whatever. A lot of people are looking at George Kambosos right now in the lightweight division as the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. And that's a good fight, man.
Now
and
here's
that would make him more money than a Haney fight would.
Now, you're right. You're exactly right. I agree 100% with that one. Now, here's the thing. If he does beat Haney or Tank or Lomachenko in his next fight, then I'm gonna have to concede. Yeah, he's for real. I'm not saying he's not for real, but I just don't think he's better than those guys.
Yeah.
He's definitely a top five lightweight. So don't get me wrong.
No question.
Maybe a top four lightweight. There's no shame in that. Okay, but at the end of the day, I'm just being honest. I would pick those guys over him based on the style matchups.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I want to do a special shout-out here, a special shout-out to Micah Rankin-Higgins. He's an amateur boxer out of Cincinnati, Ohio. He will be fighting next week in Shreveport, Louisiana at the USA Boxing National Championships. Good luck, Micah. All right, good luck, buddy. Bring it home for us. Let's move on here. Oscar De La Hoya calls out Floyd Mayweather. Oscar De La Hoya told TMZ Sports it could be Floyd Mayweather when asked about his next fight. He said it wouldn't be an exhibition with somebody like Floyd. It would be a real fight. It's probably the biggest fight that you can make today and would generate lots of money, so that would be nice. Is he on something again?
Well, it could generate, I won't lie or deny that it wouldn't generate a lot of money. I think it would. But does Floyd need this to happen? Does he want this to happen? Could you sanction this as a real fight? No, it would have to be an exhibition. So as long as it was an exhibition and it wasn't a real fight, I would probably watch it. But when I'm looking at fights like Tyson versus Roy Jones, Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul, and I'm seeing that they're doing a million pay-per-view buys, and I'm seeing no one else doing a million pay-per-view buys today in the American market, then I can't laugh this off as a joke. I can laugh off as a joke in terms of the significance of the fight.
Right.
But I think we can both agree that it would probably get a lot of attention. It will probably get a good amount of pay-per-view buys.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Because we know how the public is.
I would agree with that. So there we go. All right. Let's go to Philly Drew. Philly Drew is on the line. Philly Drew, you're live.
Damn, you knew it was me already.
What's there
up,
you
guy?
Go. What's happening, man?
What's going on? What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. I'll be honest, I lost that fight yesterday. I really was impressed with Montana Love. I actually think he's going to be a champion. If he just stops going overweight, that should be the only time he should miss weight, especially when going over 3.5 pounds overweight. But he has a bright future. I think he's really good. I like the pop shots that he brings and everything. He's underrated with his power. So he has a bright future. But I really thought it was a close fight with David Haney and JoJo Diaz. I thought it was a lot closer than what people thought it was, because a lot of Devin Haney's punches were hitting the gloves. And JoJo was getting inside, and he was making it difficult for Haney. I had a 7-5 for Haney, but I couldn't give JoJo no more than 5 rounds. But I really think Devin Haney's world beatable. Like, at this age, Floyd Mayweather was a hell of a lot better than him at his age.
Yeah, I was agree with that.
D-Style had it 7-5 for Haney, too. I'll go back and watch it again, but I'm not going to go out of my way to try to give JoJo rounds just because. And I respect everyone's opinion, don't get me wrong. But there are quite a few people that had this fight close on Twitter, and I just didn't see it that way. I don't know. I'll go back and watch it again, though. I'm curious to see if I missed anything. I don't know.
Like, I'm looking at Haney, and I'm watching everything that he does and everything. And I'm like this, Lomachenko destroys Devin Haney. I think Lomachenko stops Devin Haney. Because he could get, I really think Lomachenko stops Devin Haney. I think Lomachenko can get inside anybody. Especially, he got inside Nakatani. He was able to easily beat Gary Russell, who arguably had the fastest hands in boxing, is a terrific boxer himself. He was able to easily beat Gary Russell and almost knocked him out. Devin Haney, he let JoJo Diaz in on him. Lomachenko is going to get in on him easier, and he's going to make him pay for punches that he throws to Lomachenko. I just really think Lomachenko beats him, stops him, and easily does it. But I don't really I give him a shot to beat Kambosos, but I think Kambosos can make it a fight out of it because he's the same height as Haney, and he's also an outside fighter also. So it depends on who gives in first to going in the inside and try to go inside the other guy. But other than that, that's a real chess match right there. Ryan Garcia, I really think Haney could get him if Haney doesn't get hit by a big punch, because Ryan Garcia, I think, is too flat-footed for Devin Haney. His footwork is very questionable, and Ryan leaves his chin out. He does the Emil Khan weakness, leaves his chin out to get hit. But, like, with Teofimo, I see you guys talking about him getting hit by a 300-pound guy. I thought it was stupid also that he let him get hit by a 300-pound guy. But I think Teofimo got too humbled for being Lomachenko. Thought, hey, I beat the best guy. Nobody beats me. But the thing is, the dude took you lightly. You barely beat him. In the middle of the fight and at the end of the fight, he exposed two of your weaknesses. And I said it after the fight. Teofimo cannot fight backing up, and he has no inside game. And what happened in that fight with Kambosos? Both those weaknesses came alive. He has not improved on those weaknesses. And with him going to 140, I think Josh Taylor stops him. I think Ruiz's Prograis beats him. I even can see Victor Pastor beating him. But I think
Jose Cepeda would give him a tough fight, too.
Yeah.
Jose Cepeda, Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
He ain't going to have a cakewalk up there. I'm telling you that right now.
No, he's not.
It's not. I think that he needs to choose a new management group to guide his career. I think his dad is really killing his career. I think the dad is just living off his son. And you know, at the end, you know, when a parent, like when a kid makes his first million or gets drafted in the NFL, he wants to do something for his mom or his dad, buy him a house and everything, make sure they retire, don't have to pay and everything. But how much did he make on that Lomachenko fight? Like $1.5 million and everything? And then he bought his
Something like that, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So He bought a house, a couple
but you
houses
gotta,
and everything.
But you got to understand this, Drew. 40% of that goes to Uncle Sam, right?
Yeah.
Then you gotta pay the trainers, the nutritionists. You gotta
Absolutely.
Pay the sanctioning fees. You gotta pay all that, right? Then he has
yep.
a baby. Probably don't have insurance. So you gotta pay for that. A
lot of expenses. A lot of expenses with fighters.
And he's
in
a deep hole. Then he's taking care of his parents. Probably buying his dad and mom and everything under the sun. Buying his wife things that she needs, buying the child things that she needs, right? So it's crazy, man. Crazy.
It's a shame. And you know what? I give big props to Danny Garcia because I'll be honest with you, I met Danny Garcia. I even met Angel Garcia, and I talked to Angel Garcia at my old job on numerous occasions about life and boxing and business and everything. And I'll be honest with you, Danny Garcia has made investments in barbershops, prop real estate in Philadelphia, Miami. He just bought a complex in Miami and a house in Miami and everything. He's making smart moves, and he started when he was young making these investments and everything. And it's a shame that when this kid didn't have nobody to really show him that way. Instead of somebody that's being a hype man, being someone that's going to show off to the camera and everything, it's a goddamn shame. And it's a freaking crime already because he made $3.2 million on this fight with Kambosos. And that's a lot of that's going to go towards the trainers and everything, all that expenses you just bring up and everything. And what he's going through now, it's only going to get worse because he has that O no more. He got beat by a mandatory, a guy that he was a big favorite against. And then they're going to see that he hasn't improved. And a lot of people can beat this kid. It's just
But here's
bad.
The thing too, Drew. Here's the thing, not to cut you off, Drew, but here's the thing too.
Yeah.
We can't disregard this. Got a lot of emotional issues too. I mean, he said on this in this article when he was being interviewed by Kriegel that he contemplated suicide three times in the past year. There's something wrong right now, bro, with this guy psychologically, mentally.
Yeah, he's not all there.
He's mentally
and really
fragile. And
I really think the my bad.
Well, let me just say this. I mean, and you know, we can't – this is a situation where you just can't snap your fingers and this guy's going to be normal again, with, you know, with all due respect. I think he's got a lot of issues he's got to take care of, and I think his problems right now are much bigger than boxing.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree.
I really –
All right, Drew,
really
we're
going to
get running. Hey, Drew, do me a favor.
What's
are
that?
You on Twitter? Or are you on social media?
I'm on Twitter. Actually, I'll follow both of you.
You're perfect, yeah. Okay, so you follow me. Do me a favor and DM me, and we're going to send you some shampoo. We're going to send you the Manscaped Shampoo 2-in-1 Conditioner, Shampoo and Conditioner, the Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo. Conditioner cleanses and nourishes in just one step. With coconut water, green tea, aloe, turmeric, and sage, this non-greasy daily nourishing formula is naturally hydrating and rich in antioxidants to revitalize the look and feel of your hair. All right, so just inbox me, man. Send me your address, and we'll go ahead and send that out to you. All right, Drew?
Oh, appreciate it.
All right, man. We're going to get running. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, he's got a lot of good points, and I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. You don't, you know, is this guy, is Lopez all there? And, again, when he goes to 140, that's not a cakewalk up there. That's not a cakewalk. And while we're on this subject of who goes where, what about Devin Haney? Let's talk about Devin Haney for a minute. Jojo Diaz says he's not that big of a puncher. He will have trouble if he goes up in weight. There's a cap on how high Devin Haney can go. He's not going to welterweight. I don't believe he is. You know, do you think that he, you know, what's the cap on him?
Here's the thing. He's only 22 years old. I think he will go to 147 at some point. But – the power may always be an issue. I don't know. Maybe he could get stronger as he gets older.
Right.
He's, you know, he could put on some muscle mass, but he just doesn't seem to me to be this fast twitch muscle fiber guy like Tank is.
Right.
So it could be, there could be some issues. There could be some issues with him moving up. He may just be a point fighter. You know, he's just not going to get a lot of knockouts. So he's going to have to be a point fighter. Sort of like when Floyd went to 147, he wasn't stopping a lot of guys. When Pacquiao went to 147, he wasn't stopping a lot of guys either.
In all fairness, though, with Floyd's situation, he did have hand problems. He did have hand
problems. Correct. That's a fair
point.
You know,
and he had to actually adjust his style.
Yeah.
He had to reinvent himself, adjust his entire style. And that's what a lot of people, you know, kind of fail to see and fail to talk about, is that he had to adjust his entire style, okay, to become what he was at 147. Not an easy thing to do.
I think he'll go to 147. I just don't think he'll ever be this knockout guy that maybe people want him to be.
No. I think at that point he has to adjust the style. You know, if that's where he goes, he has to, you know, he's going to have to adjust the style. So it is. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Let's see here. If you want to follow Joe Habib, follow him on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.